Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Gonna tell it like it really is. We know Haney doesn't give a shit. Silencing critics, eliminate misses. Two chips never accept on shoulders to get better. Everybody knows a name, read about it. We're golf teachers, Hall of Fame. Never doubt it. It's time for the truth. Here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. It's time for the truth, here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. Yeah. Listening to Haney.
Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast. Hope everybody's having a great day today. I am going to review the CJ Cup, the big tournament at Shadow Creek in Las Vegas. The first time at the phenomenal golf course in Las Vegas, Shadow Creek, one of the top-rated golf courses in the United States. By some, it's rated like the best course. I don't know. I heard him talking about that on the radio. I don't know what rating that was. But it is a phenomenal golf course. And I've known of Shadow Creek. I've played at Shadow Creek. I've played out there with friends. I've been out there with Tiger Woods quite a bit when I was coaching Tiger. I actually was at Shadow Creek when it was just being built. Interesting story. Steve Wynn built Shadow Creek, and I used to give Steve Wynn golf lessons. And one weekend I was in Las Vegas, and Steve Wynn took me out to Shadow Creek when they were building it. And they were just getting it kind of done. All the shaping had been done. And they were getting ready to put the trees in. And they wanted him to take a look at what the trees were going to be like. And this golf course was built for like, I don't know how much he spent, like something like $28 million. And that was, you know, back when they were spending $5 million to build golf courses. You know, you say golf course, people say $5 million. They built Shadow Creek. And Steve Wynn built it for like $26 or $28 million. It's a Tom Fazio golf course, and it is absolutely fantastic. As you could see on TV, if you watch the tournament, it is absolutely beautiful. I mean, here's this just oasis right in the middle of the desert, and it's all this. They've got wildlife out there, and all these different birds. And the golf course was always in phenomenal condition. But anyway, I was there when the golf course first was built. And I remember this. We drove out there, and when you drive in, you pass the par three it's like a 200-yard par three, and it's got the ravine down in front of it. And this whole ravine is filled with trees now. And I remember we drove in, and they stopped right there, and Steve Wynn got out of his car, and he looked down there, and there was a few trees down there, and he yelled down at the guys that were down there working. He said, "Excuse me." He said, "Excuse me." He said, "Fellas, I said full of trees," meaning that they didn't have anywhere near enough the trees in there that he wanted in there. So anyway, by the next day, that par three with the ravine down there was full of trees. I don't know what hole is. I think it's number three or four on the front nine. But anyway, we got over to the first hole, and they had all the trees, and these were mature trees. I mean, in big boxes, you know, when they transplant trees, they put them in a big box, and they had the trees on the first hole, all in the boxes up on the mounds. And the whole golf course is dug out. The desert is dug out, and then they mounded it up around on the sides of each fairway. So you can't see. One of the goals of the golf course is you really can't see any hole on the golf course except for the one that you're playing. You know, a lot of golf courses are just flat, and you can look over and you can see six holes across, or eight holes, or nine holes, or 10 holes across the golf course. This golf course, you can't see any hole except for the one that you're on. So they had the trees all lined up on both sides of the fairways, all the way down, from the tee to the green. And it was to give Steve Wynn an idea of what it was going to look like with the tree budget that they had. And, you know, it was an enormous tree budget. I don't know what it was, but I want to say it was something like $10 million or something. Well, I mean, it ended up being that. But at first, it started off at like $2.5 million. So what they did is they had all the trees lined up, and they said, okay, what do you think? This is what it's going to – this is a kind of a semblance of what it's going to look like on every hole. With all the trees lined up on the first hole, and he said, all right. He said, here's what I want you to do. Put four times that many trees on the first hole, and I'll come back and take a look at it tomorrow. And the next day, we came back and took a look, and the first hole had four times as many trees as it had on there yesterday. And he said, all right, that's more like it. He said, let's do that to every hole. And just like that, the tree budget went times four, and it was four times what it originally started off. And now those trees are mature, and obviously it's a treat to go play at Shadow Creek. Not many people get to do it. Back in the day, I mean, you pretty much just had to be the highest of high roller, and you had to be a friend of Steve Wynn or one of his presidents or vice presidents that worked for him. Or you weren't playing that golf course. Not many people ever played it. And then I think, as the, tournament or as the golf course changed hands and, MGM owns it now. But, they had this big asset that they were obviously have as a tax deduction. And they said, you're going to have to let some people play out there. I remember when we were there that day looking at the golf course, and we went into the clubhouse. And they had just gotten done with painting the whole clubhouse. And it's not a big clubhouse. It doesn't need to be. But it's a beautiful clubhouse. Got a great locker room and all kinds of lockers. And you heard them talking about it on TV if you watch the telecast. But and I heard it on the radio too on SiriusXM. But they have a lot of obviously famous people who have played there, and they give them lockers. And Michael Jordan has a locker, and there's a lot of actors that have lockers and politicians and so on and so forth. But the locker room's nice. And we went into the clubhouse, and they just finished. I mean, they literally just finished painting. They just finished cleaning up all their paintbrushes. And Steve Wynn looked at it, and it was kind of a white color and everything. And he looked at it, and he said, you know what? I had some coffee this morning. I put some cream in it, and I mixed it up, and it was a great color. He said, you know what? I think we ought to paint it that color. And just like that, they started all over and repainted the whole clubhouse in that, coffee color that had been diluted with the creamer. That was kind of the way he rolled. Anyway, so we went in for lunch. I got to tell you this story, too. So we went in for lunch into the, locker room, dining room area, whatever. And Steve Wynn says to me, he says, Hank, you want to get some lunch? And I said, yeah, sure. And so we sit down. He said, well, let's go get some lunch. So we sit down, and he says, what do you want? And I said, well, I mean, I'm thinking, well, do they have a menu? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen a menu. I mean, usually when you go to a restaurant, you pick something off the menu. He says, no, we don't have any menus. He said, you just tell them what you want, how you want it prepared. He said, what do you want? You want a steak? You want lobster? You want fish? What do you want? He said, you just tell them what you want. He said, you want eggs? You just tell them what you want, how you want it prepared, and that's what they'll make. And I thought, wow, this is a different way of living. But that's my Shadow Creek story. I've been out there many times. I was out there with Tiger because he used to go to Las Vegas, and we went there, and he worked with his physical therapist, Keith Clevin, and we went out to practice at Shadow Creek, and it's just a special place. It's cool that they held the tournament, the CJ Cup course. It had the match. The other notable event that they had out there was the match with Tiger versus Phil, so you got to see the golf course. But it is beautiful, and especially this time of the year because the golf course has been overseeded and it's just in beautiful condition. It's always in beautiful condition. But I know the pros had a lot of great things to say about it The greens were fantastic. They've been, you know, rebuilt at least once. I don't know how many times they've rebuilt them, but I mean, they're beautiful, fast, firm. And the golf course is tremendous. It's probably the best golf course that I've ever seen. Well, I don't think it's even probably. It's the best golf course I've ever seen that was built out of nothing. I mean, literally nothing. It's just a flat, absolute flat, barren piece of desert. And they made it into that. And that is, it is a testament to what money can do, but a great design too. They built a great golf course, and Tom Fazio did a great job. And he had a lot of input from Steve Wynn, actually. Steve was really had a great eye for things like that. So it was cool. So that's my Shadow Creek story. We'll talk about the tournament. Jason Kokrak wins his first tournament on the PGA Tour. We'll do that when we come back on the Hank Haney podcast. Let me remind everybody to go to haneyuniversity.com. And you can subscribe to get my free instructional emails. I'm getting incredible feedback. People love them. I know you will too. It's free, so you can't turn that offer down. All you have to do is put your email address in. My instructional emails will come to your box on a daily basis. We've also got some great deals on there. If you're interested, there's my favorite training aid, the Impact Snap. We've got a great push card. Everybody's into push cards this year with the COVID-19 and social distancing. We have the best push card. It's called the Quick Fold, and it is fantastic. Light, one button, just works like a dream. We got the best price on the internet on the push card. And this has been an item that you can't find anywhere. I mean, every time I've looked on Amazon or wherever, it's been sold out. We got free shipping. You can check that out. We also got a great laser range finder, so you can know exactly how far you are and all your distances. It measures slope, too. If you're playing on a golf course that's uphill, downhill, it's a great product. And my new book is on there, too, How to Play Better Golf Today, Lessons of a Lifetime. You can find that. You can get an autographed copy of that on HaneyUniversity.com, but you get the free instructional emails. So just go and sign up for that. We'll be right back on the Hank Haney Podcast. All right, so Jason Kokrak wins his first tournament on the PGA Tour, the CJ Cup. Normally, this tournament's played at bridges or wherever over in South Korea, and it's been a tournament that's been played over there for a few years. Justin Thomas has won it I think a couple times. He won it last year, shot 20 under par, which incidentally was exactly the score, I think, that Jason Kokrak shot was the 20 under par as well. And that is a fact. So they played different course, but shot the same score. That seems to be a winning score on the PGA Tour a lot of times. Jason Kokrak, since 2012, you go back to 2012. He's been on the tour 10 years, but go back to 2012, and there was only one player, David Hearn, is the only player that has more starts without a win on the PGA Tour. Jason Kokrak had 230 starts, and David Hearn had 231 starts. And Cameron Tringali, 230 starts, and you got Ricky Barnes at 214. Those are the guys that have had the most starts since 2012 without a win. So Jason Kokrak gets off of that list and wins the CJ Cup. Now, it's a good field. I mean, this is the first tournament that we've had in the wraparound. The guys are playing a little bit now because they got the Masters coming up, and they want to get things going again. So they had a good feel. I mean, Tiger didn't play, but you had pretty much everybody out. No Dustin Johnson because he tested positive for COVID. And had to withdraw, but Rory was there, and Koepka and Rahm, and I mean, they had the whole group, Justin Thomas, Morikawa, I mean, everybody was there. It was a good field. I mean, it's a short field, no cut, but it's surprising with the big names that were there. And I got to put, Shoffley's kind of a big name. He's a top player. He's top 10 in the world. You got to say that's a big player. But you go through the list, and you got Kokrak, Shoffley, Tyrrell Hatton, who's he's been playing well, but Russell Henley, Taylor Gooch, Joaquin Niemann. Then you got Bubba Watson. You know, Bubba was ranked like 60th or something. Orlando Griffin. I mean, it's kind of surprising. You know, I mean, the top 10, Sebastian Munoz, Harris English. There's your top 10, the guys I just listed. Of those guys, the only guy that you would put, you know, well, you got one top 10 player in the world in the top 10 in this tournament at the CJ Cup. And you can go even farther. I mean, you got Cameron Smith at 11, Poulter at 12, Hovland at tied for 12, Matthew Fitzpatrick tied for 12. You got to get to Justin Thomas and Colin Morikawa, both tied for 12. Before you start coming up to names that, notice, John Rahm is at 17th. Rory finished 21st and shoots 6 under par. Oh boy, keep going down. Kepka 28th. Ricky Fowler, I mean, a well-known player, but not, you know, obviously hasn't been playing great. He finished 28th. Cantley, 38th. Spieth, 38th. I mean, you just, you know, it's Sungjae Im, 45th. I mean, Justin Rose, 52nd. I mean, this was a good field. Scottie Scheffler, 52nd. Guys that have played good and have been good, you know, Fleetwood, 59th. But my point is, they didn't do a lot. Paul Casey, 69th. Woodland, 72nd. Matthew Wolff. Started off with a horrendous 80 the first round and 77 the last round. So he bookends 80, 77. That's not what you call good. Jason Day played two holes on Sunday, had to withdraw because of a bad neck. So you got a big field, big names, but, not a lot of guys showed up. Now, why is that? Well, nobody's really played this golf course. Now, that's something. I mean, and I really feel like when you look at the PGA Tour, you look at it and you got to say there are horses for courses. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you can just go back in history and this holds true. I mean, Nicklaus won a lot of tournaments on, you know, similar golf courses. And obviously Tiger, you know, Torrey Pines and, you know, Firestone and, you know, Arnold Palmer's Bay Hill, you know, course and, you know, Pebble Beach. I mean, just, you know, everybody plays better at certain courses. It's just the way it is. Well, if nobody's played the golf course, everybody's kind of going blind, except for a few guys that go to Vegas a lot, guys that play a lot in Vegas. When they go there, they probably have played at Shadow Creek, although they probably haven't played that much. But here's the thing. Jason Kokrak, you can see it on his hat. He represents MGM. So he's got Bet MGM on his hat, which is the app that you can, you know, place all the bets on. And I said this the other day, by the way, the golf betting is the number two, betting sport on it's amazing, really. And at the books, it is. It's the number two. I mean, you wouldn't think it. I mean, you know, you think baseball. I don't know. You think basketball. You think college basketball. I don't know. You know, what pick a sport. But number two, is what I've been told, number two is golf. You know, you got the NFL, which by a mile, I mean, you know, a country mile, long mile, NFL. But then the second most bet on sport is golf. And Jason Kokrak representing MGM. So he's played this golf course, Shadow Creek. They said he's played it like at least 20 times. That gives you an advantage because you know where to hit it. You know where you can miss it. That's an important thing people don't take into consideration. Like a lot of times when you play a golf course and you have a caddy or whatever, and the caddy tells you, or you play with some player who's played there before and you haven't played there before, and they'll tell you, hey, this is where you want to hit it. This is where you want to hit it. This is where you want to hit it. I don't really, you know, I can kind of see where I want to hit it. I mean, I've played a lot of golf. I can see where I want to hit it. What I want to know, the information that I want to know when I play a golf course is where can I miss it? What side is it better to miss it on? You know, I mean, it's obvious if there's water on the left, you don't want to miss it left. But sometimes, you know, it's not that obvious. Or you stand on a tee box and you think, you know what, it looks like there's not much room over to the right, but there actually is plenty of room over there to the right. And if you miss it to the right, that's a good place to miss it. I mean, this is how you know, Bryson DeChambeau won the U.S. Open because, you know, he can't drive at 350 yards in the fairway all the time. And he didn't hit a lot of fairways at the U.S. Open. But what he did do was he missed it on the correct side. So if you look and say, okay, the fairway, like at a U.S. Open or whatever, and they're narrower at the U.S. Open than they are at, or were at Shadow Creek, although Shadow Creek's fairways are not wide, but you look at it and you say, all right, you know, the fairway's 30 yards wide, but if I miss it left, I'm okay. And over to the left is, you know, I've got 20 more yards over there. So really my fairway's 50 yards wide if I just go from the right edge of the fairway all the way to where I can miss it on the left. And that's the way players play. So the point of all this is that Jason Kokrak has played the golf course more. So he knows a little bit more where to miss it. The other thing is, you know, guys don't, yeah, they don't go out there and play practice, 10-hour practice rounds and study and say, you know, they'll play a couple practice rounds, maybe. Some guys just, you know, play the pro-am on Wednesday if there is one, you know, nowadays, but they play on Wednesday. Maybe they play 9 holes or something on Monday. It used to be on the tour, people would play practice rounds. The players would play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday practice rounds. I mean, that's just what it was. Now, you know, guys don't really do that. I mean, a lot of times they don't even come in till Tuesday. They'll play 9 holes on Tuesday, play the pro-am on Wednesday. And, you know, they're going off their experience of playing the golf course for 10, 15 years in a row. You know, guys played the tour for 10 years, like Kokrak has. If you play the tour for 10 years and you play at the same event every single year for 10 years, you know, maybe you haven't made the cut every time, but let's just say on average you've played that golf course 5 times a year for 10 years, you've played that golf course 50 times. So you got an idea of where to miss. And you also have an idea of how you can read the greens, because when you look at the pin placements at PGA Tour events, like for instance, when they go to, you know, Augusta, when they go play the Masters, you know where the pins are going to be. I mean, rarely will you hear a player say, oh, that was a new pin I haven't seen before. I mean, they don't know what day the pin's going to be over in each particular spot, although some you do. I mean, you kind of know where the pin's going to be on 18 at Augusta on Sunday, because that's right where the pin is, and that's right where it was when Marco Mira, you know, won the Masters and made his putt. You know, on that 18th hole, I mean, you know right where the pin's going to be. You know where the pin's going to be on number 12 at Augusta on Sunday. It's just going to be, you know, front right. That's just where they put the pin. And, you know, it's going to bring the water into play. But if you've played the golf course a lot of times and you've played in tournament conditions, you have an idea of what the pin placements are going to be like, and you have an idea of what the putts do. Because it's memory. I've often said that people maybe, you know, they talk about how people are great greens readers, but most great greens readers are really great greens rememberers. There's a difference. They can remember the way the putt goes. Well, you don't have any of that when you're playing a golf course that's brand new to a player. So they haven't seen it before. And they're out there, you know, kind of going, you know, blind. So the golf course played great. The greens putted great. But you know, you're not going to be just reading the greens quite as well as you would be if you've played it. Well, Jason Kokrak's played it 20 times. He's got an advantage. You know, he's there plus this week. So, you know, by the time the week's over, he's played it 25 times in his career, and other players have played it 5 times in their career. That, you know, 6 times, 8 times, whatever. It's a big difference between playing a golf course 25 times and playing it 5 or 6 or 8 times. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to hit the shots. It doesn't mean you don't have to hit the putts. It just is an advantage. So it's interesting that Jason Kokrak wins his first tournament on the PGA Tour, and he does it on a golf course that really he's the only one in the field, or maybe him and a couple other guys. But I would have to say this. He's played that golf course because he represents MGM. He's played that golf course more than anybody else in the field. And that's a distinct advantage. It is. Now, he still had to hit the shots. He had to make the putts. But that's an interesting note. Now, interesting to the fact that when you went into the tournament this week, the odds, you could bet $100 and win $8,000 on Jason Kokrak. Now, by the time he got to the 10th hole on Sunday, it was down to bet $100, win $160. because he was on the lead at that point. But before the week started, even though he had played the golf course before, so you could look at it, you could say, hey, you know, maybe he's a good bet. Of course, he'd gone 230 starts on the PGA Tour without a win. I don't know if that would have been a great bet, but you could say, hey, he's the only guy that's played the course, and he probably knows the greens and knows the, you know, where to miss it. And hey, let's put 100 on Jason Coker. He went hunt, put 100, win 8,000. Well, he won a lot more than that. He won, million two, whatever it is they give you that. All right, I'm going to tell you how he did it, the formula. When we come back on the Hank Any podcast, got another free offer for you, free voodoo pain relief cream. All you have to do is go to the website, voodoopainrelief.com. If you have muscle pain, aches and pains, knees, hips, joint pain, what elbow, wrists, I don't know, whatever it is, shoulder, I got shoulder. My knees, I've had both my knees replaced. I still have been using my cream. It's phenomenal. My knees are great. The product works. It's a patented formula. You look in your drawer of all the products in your drawer, whatever that you got. None of them will be patented. None of them. I mean, they're all the same stuff. Look at it. I don't care what it is. Toothpaste. Look at it. It's the same. They're all the same. They got the same ingredients. You look at the Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. It's a patented formula. It's been clinically tested. Clinically proven. We tested it on TMJ patients. TMJ, it works phenomenal for TMJ, for people that have jaw problems. I use the Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. It's phenomenal. Dentists love the product. We tested it with the clinical test on TMJ patients because with the jaw, it's the hardest joint to treat. You're always moving your mouth. And the results were phenomenal. You can try it for free. Get a free two-week supply. VoodooPainRelief.com. People rave about it. So if you've heard me talk about it, if you haven't got your free two-week supply, go there and get it. All right, we'll be right back on the Hank Any podcast. All right, so here's the formula that Jason Kokrak used to win the CJ Cup. And you hear me talk about this a lot. That when you win tournaments on the PGA Tour, most of the time, and I'm going to say probably 85 to 90% of the time, there's an occasional week, sometimes at a major championship, where this formula doesn't hold true. But most of the time, this is the formula. And the formula is somebody has a great putting tournament, and they parlay it with a great ball striking tournament. And usually they're top 10 in both. I mean, that's usually the way that it goes. 90% of the tournaments, you can just look at them, and every week you hear me talk about it. There's some exceptions, but most of the time it follows this pattern. You gotta have a great putting week, and you gotta parlay it with a great ball striking week. Now, how many great putting weeks is a player going to have on the PGA? And let's just assume they're all great putters because they wouldn't be on the PGA Tour if they weren't. And you can talk about, this guy, and I can talk about it. These guys are not good. This guy's not a good putter, and this guy. But I'm talking about relative to everybody else on the PGA Tour. And it's not relative to you and I and relative to amateur golfers. It's not. I'm speaking relative to the rest of the players on the PGA Tour. They're peer group. Okay, here's Jason Kokrak. 2020, he was 151st in putting. 2019, he was 103rd in putting. 2018, he was 110th in putting. 2017, he was 175th in putting. 2016, he's 154th in putting. 2015, 110th in putting. Okay, Jason Kokrak's not a good putter. Relative to the rest of the players on the PGA Tour, it just isn't. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years in a row, and he doesn't break the top. What is it? Top 100, 103rd's the best. Take his average of the last 6 years, he's about 140 something on tour. 140 out of what do they have? 180 guys on tour, 175 guys. 140 is one of the worst putters on tour. That's just the facts. Now he goes out. And he finishes first for the week and putting. First, 10.29 strokes gained on the field putting. Now, I mean, he's a good player, a great player. I mean, he wouldn't be on the PGA Tour if he wasn't. One of the best players to not have won a tournament, although he's on the list, you know, 230 starts without a win. That's, you know, it's amazing that he broke that streak. But, you know, how's he going to win tournaments when he's 151st in putting? Well, here's how he did it. He finished first in putting for the week. 10.29 strokes gained putting. Okay, he beat Schauffele, Xander Schauffele, who had the lead after two rounds. Shoots 74 the third round. No good. Schauffele joked, or, you know, he's got a good attitude, that kid. But he you know, kind of made a joke. He says, well, I got where I'm comfortable, which is coming from behind, because all four of Schauffele's wins on the PGA Tour, he's come from behind. So he shoots 74 and put him behind, and he figured he had him where he wanted him. Shoots 66 the last round, but it's not good enough. And it's not good enough because Jason Kokrek shoots 64, and he beats Schauffele by two shots. Now, where did Schauffele finish? Okay, well, Schauffele finished fourth strokes gained tee to green. Kokrek finished eighth, by the way. Kokrek was eighth with tee to green, strokes gained, and first in putting. There you go. There's the formula. Schauffele, fourth tee to green, third in putting. Third in putting, fourth tee to green. Pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good. You're only going to lose to a guy, you're going to lose to a guy that's far and away number one in strokes gained tee to green, or far and away number one in strokes gained putting. Well, it was putting. And Jason Kokrek, 10.29 strokes gained putting. And Schauffele, 6.7. Loses with the putter by 3.5 shots. Loses the tournament by 2 shots. And that's it. There you go. Tyrrell Hatton finished 3 back. Second strokes gained tee to green. 14th in putting. He lost the putting contest to Jason Kokrek by 7 shots. Seven. And he ends up, you know, losing the tournament by three. And they lost it by, you know, 7 on the putter. Now, Russell Henley lost by 3, too, tied for third. And he had a great putting tournament, 0.89 strokes gained putting. So he's, you know, here he is. He putted good enough to win the tournament, except for the fact that one guy putted better. And he didn't, you know, he didn't strike as good. So when they say it's hard to win on the PGA Tour, it's hard to win on the PGA Tour because there's so many players that are capable. There's so many players that are capable of having a once in a career. I mean, this is, you know, when it's all said and done, I don't know how many tournaments Jason Kokrek will win. I'm not going to tell you the floodgates are going to open like people do all the time. You know, what's going to happen to him now that he's broke through? And what's going to happen to him now that he's broke through is he's going to wait again for the next time he finishes number one in putting. And that is not going to happen, you know, for somebody in all likelihood for a long time when they average the last 6 years, 150-something on their 140-something on tour. It's just not going to happen. That's just the way it goes. But he finished first in putting, and he's, you know, like I say, he's putted good enough to win one PGA Tour event. And you putt that good, you know, you combine it. He's a good ball striker. You know, he's been a good ball striker, and he's long and everything else. And, you know, he finished eighth strokes gained tee to green, and there you go. That's the formula. So why is it hard to win on the PGA Tour? Because there's 200 guys that could parlay their best ball striking tournament and their best putting tournament, and they could do it on the same week. And if they do, they're capable of winning. And you can't count on it. That's why, you know, the pros will look at, and that's why they value top 10 so much. You know, you finish top 10 in putting, or top 10 for the tournament, and you think, okay, you know, I was there, I was in the hunt. But if you're going to win, you've got to have something special happen. And something special is finishing first in putting and gaining 10.29 strokes on the field, especially when, you know, last 6 years you've averaged 140th something on tour in putting. And that's why it's hard to win. So when you're if you're in the business of predicting like who's going to win a tournament, I mean, you can look at the stats and how the player's been playing, and you can look at their history on a certain golf course and the shots that are required on that golf course and how it matches up with their skill level and all these things. But how do you predict that a guy's going to have the best putting week of his life and he's going to do it this week? How do you know that's going to happen? That's why it's hard to pick winners on the PGA Tour. It just really is. But Jason Kokrak's a winner on the PGA Tour. That's how he did it. He did it with the putter. And it's what most people do when they win on the PGA Tour. And that's why different guys win and different guys win again. And when you see a guy that wins three or four times a year, you think, whoa, man, this guy's really good. And when you look back and you think how Tiger used to win, you know, six, seven, eight times a year, you think, we'll never see that again. Never, ever. Never again. All right. Good stuff. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Thanks for listening. Follow me on Twitter at Hank Haney. Email your questions at HankHaneyGolf@Outlook.com. Hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app. Go to my website, HaneyUniversity.com. Sign up for my free instructional emails. Go to VoodooPainRelief.com. Get your free 2-week supply of Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. And make sure you tune in tomorrow for the Hank Haney Podcast. We'll be back then. Hope everybody has a great day. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on the Hank Haney Podcast. The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.